Well, thank you for that wonderful song, and I'm glad that God tells us that we don't have to have a spirit of fear, but we can have a power and a love and a sound mind in these days. And I'm glad to be with you today to speak to you for a few moments this morning. And aren't you glad that the church is not a building? The church is people. And I'm glad that wherever you are, you can worship together with us today and take a look at God's Word and get a message that will hopefully help and encourage your heart today. In the Gospel of Luke in chapter 10, Jesus is confronted with a question, and I want to read his response to you beginning in verse number 30 of Luke chapter 10. Jesus is asked a question, and instead of answering it just directly, he gives a story. We call it a parable. He says, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and departed, wounded him, leaving him half dead. By chance, there came a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, passed by on the other side. Likewise, also a Levite, when he came where he was, looked on him, but passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he traveled, came where he was and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, put him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I'll repay thee. Jesus then turns to the man who had asked the question. And he said, which of these three was neighbor unto him that fell among thieves? The response was obvious. It was easy to discern the answer. And Jesus said, go thou and do likewise. As Pastor mentioned a moment ago, we live in some different types of days. We live in some unusual times. This is not normal for us to meet in a church service like we're doing today. Things are different. Everywhere we look, everywhere we go, there is social distancing, and we've gotten kind of used to that term now. We do go out and are in a public place. We're careful about who we're around and how close we are to them. And if someone sneezes, we all look and we don't say, God bless you. We're conscious of the coronavirus everywhere that we go. But you know, social distancing must not keep us from spiritual distancing. Sometimes I think if we're not careful, we get out of the habit of perhaps going to church or being around God's people, but we dare not come to the place where we get distant from God or distant from each other. Ministry may be different. Changes take place in our life throughout time, and maybe things, as Pastor said, will never be quite the same in our life, but we must remember that man still has a great need, and that need is spiritual. So I want you to look at this passage with me today in Luke chapter 10, and I want you to see these three individuals that the Lord tells us about in this parable. We see, first of all, those who beat up. In verse number 30, it says, this man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. What a picture this is in verse 30 of what Satan does in people's lives. He beats them up. There are those that join in that work, I suppose we could say. There are those who take advantage of others. We've heard it many times on our newscast that times like this bring out the best in people and the worst in people. There are those that take advantage during times like this, and they prey upon people. But it's just a picture of what Satan has been doing for generations. He's been beating up people. You see, sin is not something that leaves people happy. Sin is not something that leaves people with joy in their life. No, the Bible tells us here that this man was left abused. He was robbed. He was wounded. He was beat up. And Jesus said in John chapter 10 and verse 10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Oh, there's pleasure in sin for a season. But when that season ends, when that time ends, there's nothing but emptiness. There's nothing but misery. Way back in the Old Testament, in the book of Haggai in chapter 1, God says this in verse 5, "Now therefore consider your ways. You sow much, but you bring in little. You eat, but there's none full. You drink, but there's none filled with drink. You clothe you, but there's none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, consider your ways." If we're not careful, we think about life as merely eating and drinking and taking care of the material things, but you get to the end of the week or the end of the paycheck, and it's like you put it into a bag with holes, isn't it? All these things in this life that the world has to offer, all the pleasures of sin, all the things of the flesh, they just slip through our hands and leave us empty. They leave us abused. There was a man in Luke chapter 16 who was rich. He was dressed in purple. He fared sumptuously every day. He had it made in life. He had all the things that perhaps man could want, but the Bible tells us in that passage, in hell, he lift up his eyes being in torments. You see, even if life were perfect this morning, even if we were sitting in church enjoying Palm Sunday, even if we had money in the bank and we had a great job and our health was good, without Christ, we still would be left without hope. We still would be left in misery. We would still be abused by this thing called sin. Every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed, and lust when it hath conceived bringeth forth sin, and sin when it's finished bringeth forth death. The wages of sin is still death. He is left abused. He's left abandoned. The Bible tells us here that after this man was beaten up by these thieves, he was left there on the side of the road. They departed. They left him there to die. They didn't care about him. They weren't concerned about his injury. They weren't concerned about his needs. And that's the way the devil operates as well. He abuses our life with sin. He takes things from us that are good. And then he leaves us in that moment when perhaps we need someone to help. Satan will come, and when he's finished, he'll take your wealth, he'll take your health, he'll take everything that belongs to you that was given to you by God. You know, I'm so thankful that while here is a picture of what Satan does, here's a picture of what sin does, I'm thankful that God and his presence, his power in our life never leaves us. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 13 and verse 5, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Here was a man beaten up. Here was a man abused. Here was a man abandoned. But I'm thankful that when we come to Christ, when we know him as our Savior, no matter what the circumstances are, no matter what the situation is in our life, God says, "I will never abandon you. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword?" No, Paul said, "I am persuaded neither death nor life nor angels nor powers nor principalities or things present or things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus." Oh, there were here those that beat up. But secondly, we see a group of people who passed up. The Bible tells us here in verses 31 and 32 that as this scene unfolds, this man is abused, he's abandoned, he's left by the side of the road with nothing. But along comes a priest, along comes a religious person, and behind him a Levite, and these were alerted to the need. The Bible says they saw, they looked upon him. It wasn't like they were oblivious to what had happened. It wasn't like they didn't know about the need. They were alerted to the need. I wonder today, are we so focused on ourselves in the midst of this pandemic that we miss the needs that people have along the side of the road? If we're not careful, even as God's people, we can get so consumed with self. We can get so consumed with our problems and our hurts and our situation that we forget that there are people that God has placed in our way that He wants us to minister to. All seek their own and not the things of Jesus Christ, Paul said. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 4, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. It's easy in times like this to get just solely focused on ourselves. It's easy to think about, well, I've lost my job, or I might get sick, or I hope everybody in my family's okay, or I hope I have enough money to make it to the end of the month. I hope this, and we think about ourselves. But God commands us, we that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. You see, we're to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows. It is our responsibility. They were alerted to the need. They acknowledged the need. The Bible says in verse 32, this Levite, he came where he was. He looked upon him. He saw the wounds. He saw the damage that had been done. But he passed by on the other side. Do we understand this morning that all of the disease and all of the distress and all of the division that is going on in our world today is just simply a result of man's greatest need? And that is that every one of us need a Savior. Every one of us need Jesus Christ in our life. You see, these things that happen to us that are unexpected, these things that kind of shake us into reality a little bit, they're designed by God to help us to understand that we have one essential need, and that is a Savior. Oh, death is horrible. As we watch the numbers continue to climb across the world and across our country and across our state, we see those in the pictures on television or in social media of those that are struggling and those that are dying. Their lives are being lost, but there's something far worse than dying. That is dying without a Savior. For you see, it's appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. You see, life on this earth, when it's over, it doesn't end all. We are going to live somewhere forever. We're going to live somewhere in eternity, either heaven or hell. And man's greatest need is to know Christ as Savior. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. They were alerted to the need. They acknowledged the need, but they avoided that need. The Bible says that both of these individuals, they pass by on the other side. Are you oblivious to your need this morning? Are you unconcerned about what's beyond this life? Are you just passing by this time in history and not really concerned about what happens in eternity? Christian friend, are we so consumed with ourselves that we miss the opportunity to minister to those who have the great need of Christ? Psalm 142 and verse 4, the psalmist that I looked on my right hand and beheld, refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. No doubt this man wondered as he laid there in that ditch, as he wondered as he laid there with the wounds and the hurts and the loss of all of his possessions. He probably wondered, does anybody care? Is anybody going to stop? Is anybody going to help meet my need? And many across the world today, oh, they have fears. They have concerns about the virus. But deeper than that, people have a concern. What happens when life ends? What happens when that last breath is taken? What happens when I slip out into eternity? Jeremiah chapter 8 paints a picture of a nation without God, a nation slipping into eternity without the Lord. And he gets to the very last verse of Jeremiah 8, and God says, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then are not my people received? You see, there is a remedy. There is a physician. There is someone who heals the broken heart. There is someone that saves the soul. There is someone that gives eternal life, and his name is Jesus Christ. If you've never trusted him as your Savior, you can today. You can be sure, no matter what happens in this life, that when your life ends on this planet, you will be with the Lord forever in heaven. For to be absent from the body for the Christian is to be present with the Lord. Know how we need to preach that message today, how we need to give that message today, how we need to encourage people with that message today. God is looking for his people in a time like this to be faithful, to be a witness, to be looking for those along the way in life that need the Lord Jesus Christ. But we see here a spiritual distancing. They were keeping far from this man who had been beat up. There was no way that they were going to get involved. They were willing to pass up. But we see a third individual in this story. We sometimes refer to him as the Good Samaritan. We see that this man was willing not to beat up or to pass up, but to help up. Now, he was an unlikely source. The religious crowd, you would have thought, would have been concerned in this situation. You would have thought that the priest and the Levite, they would have, I mean, after all, they were ministers. They were in the work of ministry. But it seemed that they did not have the time, or other things were more important to them. But this Samaritan, now the Samaritans were looked down upon in the time of Christ. In the New Testament, the Samaritans were looked down upon as kind of a half-breed of people, and they were socially not important. They were those who were kind of outcast when it came to society. So here was an unlikely source of help. You know, you don't have to have credentials to care. You don't have to be in the ministry to minister. Compassion should be in the part of every one of us. In fact, I believe that God has given everybody a certain level of compassion. I think it's hard today to go through a pandemic like we're going through without having compassion for those that are on the front lines in the health industry. And it's hard not to have compassion on those doctors and nurses who every day put their life on the line. It's hard not to have compassion for the thousands that are suffering from this illness and others that are dying. That's part of who we are as human beings. I think of a woman back in the Old Testament. She was Pharaoh's daughter in Egypt. She was not a woman that knew God. She didn't know the God of heaven. Egypt was a wicked place, a very sinful place. And yet, in the heart of that woman was compassion. She went to the riverside one day and saw there in a basket a little baby. And the Bible says in verse 6 of Exodus chapter 20, when she opened it and saw the child, behold, the babe wept. And the Bible says, and she had compassion on him. I think of a New Testament example in Acts chapter 28. Paul is on a ship, and there's a terrible storm. And in fact, the ship is broken to pieces, and they're able to get on some boards, and they're able to get to shore, and they come to this island, and the Bible describes it as a place where there are barbarous people living. But the Bible says in verse 2, and the barbarous people showed us no little kindness. For they kindled the fire and received every one of us because of the rain, because of the cold. Here were a barbarous people who had compassion. And friend, if there's not a level of compassion in your heart today, there's something wrong with you. But certainly as a Christian, we ought to have compassion on those who have the need of Christ, on those who are in need in this hour. And we see this Samaritan, he's an unlikely source, but we see an unabated sacrifice. Verse 34, he goes to the man. He's not concerned about himself. He's not concerned that those same thieves might come back and hurt him. He's not thinking about himself now. He goes to this man. He binds up his wounds. He pours in some medicine. He puts him on his beast. He brings him to a place where he can get some rest. He takes out some money and covers the cost. Here was a man who went to some unabated sacrifice. He went the extra mile to help. I don't know if there's a verse in the Bible that describes it any better than 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 15. When Paul said, I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. I wonder this week, who can we spend and be spent for? All around us are people hurting. All of us, all around us are people with questions. All around us are people with needs. Are we willing to live our life in an unabated sacrifice? Oh, this is a week that reminds us of the sacrifice of our Savior, does it not? This is a week that reminds us of Jesus Christ going to that cross. And the love of Christ ought to constrain us because He died for all. And they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him which died for them and rose again. Know how our lives ought to be consumed with an unabated sacrifice to take the gospel to those that are lost, to help those that are hurting, to encourage those who are discouraged. And it's an unheralded service. This man, it's interesting, he does all this and then goes his way. He doesn't wait for the next morning for the man to get up and write him a thank you note. He doesn't wait for somebody to give him some applause or some recognition or write up the story in the local newspaper. He just kind of goes his way as though it was normal to help up. So often we base our service on who might notice, how much thanks we might receive. Here was a man that received no thanks, no reciprocation, no applause. It would appear that he never sees this man again. It would appear that these two individuals never meet again. But that's okay, because he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. Does it really matter who gets the credit as long as God gets the glory? In these times, let's not be focused on ourselves. Let's not be consumed with, well, I can't do this, or I wish I could do this. No, let's make sure that our lives are consumed with God getting the glory through this. And through these opportunities, bring people to the Savior. The following story took place in the life of Mrs. William Booth. William Booth was the originator of the Salvation Army. And Mrs. Booth had a particular burden for prisons. And she would often go wherever her husband was preaching to a prison and try to minister to people there. One day she was making calls in a terrible old prison. And suddenly she heard a woman's voice shouting and shrill. She saw two policemen holding a struggling woman. Her hair was matted. There was a bruise on one side of her face and a blood clot on the other. Her garments were torn and disheveled. She looked miserable, just a wretched woman. Mrs. Booth's heart went out to that poor creature in her sin. Instead of judging her, she loved her, because her heart was filled with the love of Christ, who loves souls. She thought, what can I do? What can I do to help? Can I say a prayer? No. Can I give a check? No, that will not do. What can I do? And instinctively, she reached up as the woman came by and planted a kiss on her cheek. The woman instantly cried, "Who kissed me? Who just kissed me?" Mrs. Booth melted back into the crowd as the poor wretch was dragged on to her cell. The next day, Mrs. Booth went back to see this poor woman. The matron at the prison said, "We think she's crazy. All she does is walk her cell back and forth and cry, 'Who was that that kissed me? Who kissed me? Somebody in the crowd yesterday kissed me. Somebody please tell me, who was it that kissed me?'" When Mrs. Booth walked in, that was the first thing the woman said to her. "Oh, lady, can you please tell me who it was yesterday that kissed me?" Mrs. Booth said, "Tell me, why do you ask that question?" With tears rolling down her cheeks, the woman turned to her and said, "My mother died when I was 7 years old. She was of gentle birth, but very poor. She died in the dark in a miserable basement. And just before she passed, she called me to her side and took my little head in her hands and cried, 'Oh, my poor little weak, defensive girl, God will take care of you.' Then my mother kissed me, and she died. That was the last time anybody cared about me. That was the last time anybody kissed me. Nobody has cared for me or loved me. I have been kicked around and buffeted, but nobody cares for me. Nobody has ever kissed me until yesterday." Mrs. Booth said, "Young lady, I was the one who planted that kiss on your cheek. I did it because I love you. I love you because Christ dwells in my heart and has filled my heart with a love for people like you." She then had a chance to pour out the greatest of all love, the love of Calvary, where God kissed the sinner's sins away in the blood of his own beloved Son. That poor wretched woman knelt down there in that jail cell and found peace and salvation in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ because somebody loved her soul. There's a lot of people beating up today, taking advantage, a picture of what the devil wants to do to this whole world. Just beat us up with sin and leave us by the wayside. There are those who should help. They should come along and be a blessing. They should come along and give the message of hope, but instead they're focused on self and they pass up. But oh, may you and I be like this Samaritan. We don't know his name. We don't know anything about him. But he was somebody that helped up. May this week we help people who are in need. Let's reach out to those who are struggling in these days. But more than just perhaps an encouragement or helping with some chores or perhaps a phone call or a text, let's make sure that we give them the greatest message of all. And that's the message of the love of Jesus Christ. And friend, if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, oh friend, others may pass you by today, but he will not. Even in the darkest hour of Jesus' life, he turned to the one beside him and said, "Today, thou shalt be with me in paradise." You may feel all alone there in your home. You may feel all alone in your life right now, but there's one who cares for you. Now, I may not know who you are, and I may not know what your need is, but there is one who does. And he'd like to save you today. The Bible says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. As many as received him, Jesus Christ, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Trust him as your Savior today. He'll get you through life, but more importantly, he'll get you to that place in eternity called heaven when life ends. Let's pray, and Pastor will come and take this service today. Father, thank you for this story that you included in the sacred word of God. And thank you for how it applies to us today in this hour where so many are hurting, so many are needy, and there don't seem to always be the answers that we wish were available. And yet, Lord, you give us opportunity to help because you're the great helper, you're the great physician, you're the one that can save us from our sin, give us eternal life, and give us that abundant life in this world as well. Meet needs today in hearts. I pray there'd be someone right now that in their heart and mind would say, Lord, I need you. I'm a sinner, and I need you to save me. I believe that you died on that cross for me. I believe that you rose again from the dead to conquer sin and the grave. And Lord Jesus, I put my faith and my trust in you today. Oh, Lord, if there's someone who's never prayed that prayer, may they pray it right now and trust Christ as their Savior. And may we as your people get that message to as many as we can in this important hour, we pray. In Jesus' name, Pastor.
Thank you, Brother Getch. I want to speak to somebody that maybe I'll never know who you are. Those of you that are from Faith Baptist, you know what I'm about to do, and when we finish up with a message, I'll ask, Christians be praying. And for those of you that maybe don't know the Lord, I want you to understand, you've got some people that are praying for you right now. They may never know who you are. But if you don't know Christ as your Savior, would you please do this? Don't shut the phone down yet. Don't close up the tablet. Don't shut down the computer. However it is that you're watching this, please would you stay with us? Because you're the reason that we've had this service. We've had it to encourage people, God's people. We've had it to remind us just what our need is, what we need to do in this life. But if you don't know Christ as your Savior, you've just been told that there's a God that loves you. You've just been told that there is a God, a Savior, God come in the flesh, that died for you on the cross. Friend, our God is in control. He is the one that has orchestrated this. The world in many ways has ground to a halt. And I find it fascinating that it has taken place as people who at least give a glance to Christianity, they may call themselves Christians, but they stop and they remember, they reflect on the one who died on the cross and rose again. I'm asking you to set aside anything that might distract, any thought that you don't need him, any attitude that, oh, it's okay. You can know that if you died right now, you'd go to heaven. The Bible says that we're all sinners, all of us, and that the wages of sin is death. A wage is something that you earn. We've all earned death, which in the Bible is separation. We've been separated from God because of our sin. But the gift of God, different word, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. He is here offering it to you, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, the word confess means to say the same thing as, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Probably the most famous verse in the Bible is John 3:16. For God so loved the world, that includes you, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, have confidence in, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It doesn't mean that you just believe that Jesus existed. It means that you're placing your faith and trust in him to do what he promised he would do, and that is save you. Would you do this right where you're at? If you don't know Christ, again, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Would you go to him? Lord, I've never trusted you. I've prayed a prayer, I've gone to church, I've been baptized, but that doesn't save. Lord, I'm trusting you to save me. I am trusting you because you will keep your word. Lord, save me for Jesus' sake. Friend, words mean things, and God's word means the greatest. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Works don't do it. Church membership doesn't do it. Your lineage in your family, that will not do it. It is whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I hope and pray that if you've trusted Christ, that you will get a hold of us here through our webpage, myfbt.org, through our telephone, 916-331-7023. Either one of those, I pray that you'll tell us, I've trusted Christ. I'm not trying to make you a member of this church. I'm not trying to manipulate. We preach Christ. I hope and pray that you've heeded this call. And I pray that you understand that God has been merciful to you. He loves you. His grace is calling to you. Trust him as Savior.